for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, November the 28th, 2014. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the morning, teaching on the characteristics of a fool.
We don't really come to do anything. We really want to come and not do it. Jerry asked Ralph last night, are you going to come and help us pray in the morning? He was like, do you really need me to come? She said, yes. And he said, okay. So, you know, we're... God has shown us some things about the body, you know, and some people think that to be here behind the pulpit sharing is a promotion. But Jesus said that if you wanted to be great, you needed to serve. That's some food for thought. Mm-hmm. You know, we were listening to a teaching about Stephen, and you read about him, and you know, his promotion was death. He laid down his life for Christ, for the body, for... And we're singing this morning, Lord, I want your glory more than anything else. But you know, that comes at a cost to us. Religion teaches us that if we just come and say a prayer, it will be saved and glory to God. But Jesus said... And if you want your life, you have to lose it.
That's right.
And that's not always very easy to do. And so I'm like, do I really want to sing this song, Lord, that I want your glory more than anything else? Because I know it's going to cost me. You know? And we don't see that. I pray that each one of you will understand that this is not a ticket. Deliverance is not a ticket. It is a working out of your salvation every single day. For what? For freedom's sake? No. In the beginning, he created man in his image. And what did Jesus do? Come to restore us to that. Deliverance is a tool that we use to allow God to work in our lives to make us in his image. That's what it's about. Deliverance has been huge. I probably wouldn't have kids. I probably wouldn't be married. I'm not exaggerating. We were here on the campground thinking that things were supposed to be one way and they were completely another. And without deliverance, we wouldn't be able to be continuing on doing what we're doing, which is being married, raising children. That's your work, you know? So I don't want to downplay deliverance, but it's not a ticket for freedom. It's to allow you to become who God has called you to be. And that's not a minister or a pastor or a worship leader or an evangelist. That's for you to be a son of God.
Yes.
So that's what I pray that you'll hear today. You'll allow God to change you and show you these things that do not look like Jesus. What you shared last night about, you know, we're all here. We all came. You know, we didn't come to... Minister, we came to be minister too. We all have things in us that don't look like Jesus, and we just need to be bold enough to say, this is not of you, Lord, and I want this to be taken out or molded into. Maybe we have a part of the goodness of God, but it's not quite like God really intended it to be, and he wants to shape it and mold it and form it, and I just pray that you'll allow God to do that. Amen. And then we're going to pray over the offering too. Lord, we thank you for the finances for Lake Hamilton. We've been here and we've seen it come and we've seen your provision. And we know that it's not by my change, your check, your $100, your $5,000, God brings it all in, and He lays on each of our hearts what we're supposed to give. And there's no condemnation for what you did or what you didn't give. But if there's conviction about what you need to do, I pray that you'll heed the Holy Spirit and you'll be convicted and you'll do what God is asking you to do. And I pray for everyone listening over the internet that if you're convicted about what you're supposed to be giving here, that you'll heed the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But God's not dependent on me or you or Patty or anybody else. God's going to do at Lake Hamilton what He wants to do. When we left here, Glenn asked me, he said, who's going to do it? And I said, who did it 30 years before we came? God will provide.
Amen.
And He has. I was replaceable, and we have a fabulous cook. And the videos go on, and the CDs go on. But that's through everybody's obedience. And Lord, I thank you for everybody that did give and that were obedient this morning. And I ask you to bless it and fold it and multiply it. And we never see how it's really going to make it all go out. And that's really the testimony that Patty can give you as she sends out the checks to pay the bills that come in to this place to feed us, to keep the lights on, and it still keeps coming.
Yes.
I thank you for it, Jesus. Amen.
I don't want to take much more of Jerry's time, but I want to affirm something that Tammy said, and that is in the area of servanthood. You know, Jesus is our pattern son. He came to serve. He came to serve.
Yes.
He came to serve the Father and what the plan of the Father was. The word, He came to minister, you look up the Greek, and it means serve. And that's bond slave. That's a life that is not yours anymore. It isn't. It belongs to Him. We're His real estate. And I appreciate that word that Tammy had. I appreciate that, and I bless her for that. Jerry McGee, she's one of the hardest working ministers I know. And I love her for it.
And I agree. If you're not a tither and you don't have a church, you need to give your money somewhere because you get what you give. You don't give to get, but if you want to be someone that God blesses financially, you're going to have to be a financial giver. And I don't know of any place in America where anybody can get more freedom than right here at Lake Hamilton. They're not, we're all a work in progress, but one thing the Lord has led us to choose this prayer team. I can assure you that everyone on the prayer team is not a flake. Every one of them is as submitted as they know how to be for Jesus to be the Lord of their life. And that's why they've been chosen. You can only take people as far as you are. Not that we have arrived, any of us. And I'd like to say this too, in addition to what Patty said about it, God has appointed the prayer team and the ministers here, Nikki and those that minister here, to be the ones who minister to you. And if anyone is trying to minister to you here, they're in rebellion and they're not worth listening to. You can get demons if you're letting someone minister to you that's in rebellion to the camp, because God wants us to submit to authority. If we don't want a problem with the powers of darkness. So don't let anybody be ministering to you. Not that we have all the answers, but God has the answer. He's the minister. And then the next thing I want to say before I start is that regarding the prayers in the morning. The prayer time starts at 6:00. The prayer team, we pray in there from 6 to 6:15 to get our hearts right. And so I ask those of you who come at 6:00, be here, getting your heart as right as you know how to be, confessing your sins, forgiving everyone that you need to forgive, because that's going to make the deliverance faster and more effective, and we can get through the crowd quicker. So we all have to prepare our hearts. It's really helped. It's been so helpful, and those on the prayer team can agree, for us to pray together, even 15 minutes, has made all the difference in the world. We had it two people healed already. I don't know how many all together, but it's at least two people healed today. Last week, a lady told me she had to go to
the gynecologist, she had to go to the doctor because she had her ovary was all swollen, great big, and when she'd bend over, she'd feel it hurt. She was in terrible pain, infection, so she went to the doctor and she said, I paid all this money and I don't know any more than I did. He gave me antibiotics. And I said, the problem is you have mother issues. And so a few days after that, she still was having pain, and so I led her to forgive her mother for all the hurt and then deal with sexual sin. And then she worked for a gynecologist for 7 years, had soul ties with all those patients that had ovary problems and female problems, and she was instantly healed. Instantly. She said, I can build over. I can't even feel it anymore. And you know what? Nikki's message was just a perfect message to start out at this camp. It was awesome. And God uses chastisement to get us delivered if we're wise enough to ask God what's wrong with me instead of blaming everybody else. God wants to conform us, like Patty said, Tammy said, conform us into the image of Christ. And he uses our trials to conform us into the image of Christ if we're wise enough to let him conform us into his image. If not, we get bitter instead of better, and we get destroyed. Bitterness will absolutely kill you. Unforgiveness. If you can't forgive people in the present, it always goes back to childhood issues. Always. I hope I forgot who we prayed for, but it was like they were trying to forgive up here, and they said all the words, but it wouldn't go away because it was rooted in childhood. So I guess the greatest thing that God has ever taught me is to keep on repenting. I don't do that because I'm legalistic, because I know about abiding in Christ, resting in God. I know how to abide in Christ. It's just let go of your life. Get on the potter's wheel, and the potter does the rest. Just stay on the potter's wheel. You fall off, get on. Get back on. But I thank God for teaching me. The greatest thing he's ever taught me was to always ask him what he's trying to teach me through the trial. Because God lets other people mirror what he's trying to change in you. And then what he shows me, I repent. And then let it go. And I can tell you, if you do that, you'll go from glory to glory, to strength. And when you're an old person, we all have to get old. Not me, I'm not old. But we all have to get old. But if you get old, you'll be stronger. You don't have to be decrepit when you're old. People don't deal with sin as the problem. That's all of our problems. And I thank God for his discipline. God says, he who loves discipline loves his own soul. Why is that true? Because God knows that for us to receive his discipline, that doesn't necessarily mean a spanking. You know, like Nikki said last night, you can make it light on yourself. You don't have to have him keep on increasing the discipline, keep on increasing the chastisement. When I see him coming with the belt, I say, oh, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry. I remember when I used to spank my son, he said, I'll never do it again. I'm not talking about Kyle, but I'm talking about his little brother. I'll never do it again when he sees the belt coming. I say, oh, Lord, help me. You don't have to whip me, Lord. Just show me. The Bible says a whip for a donkey, a bridle for a mule, and a rod for the back of a fool. That's also one of the roots to back problems. And then this message, and Nikki confirmed it, is the characteristics of a fool. You know, a fool always thinks he's right, doesn't he? You can't tell him nothing. The dictionary definition of a fool is mad, a stupid one, one who is destitute of reason or common powers of understanding, an idiot, also one who is somewhat deficient in intellect, not an idiot, a person who acts absurdly, one who does not exercise his reason, one who pursues a course of contrary to the dictates of God's wisdom. In Scripture, it is used of a wicked or depraved person, one who acts contrarily to sound wisdom, in his moral department, a buffoon, one who follows his own inclinations, who prefers trifling and temporary pleasure to the services of God and eternal happiness, a weak Christian, a person who spends his time in idleness, sport, or mirth. And no matter how much a fool is instructed, they have a better way. They won't listen. The Bible says a fool thinks he needs no advice. Proverbs 28:26 says, he who trusts in his own mind or his own heart is a fool. Proverbs 27:22 says that you can pound a fool in a pestle along with crushed grain, but his folly will not depart from him. Now, pestle is one of those things that a pharmacist used to crush pills, or an Indian lady grinding corn puts the corn or the pills in the pestle and grinds it. So God is saying in this scripture, you can put him in a pestle and you can just keep on trying to grind him with chastisement, but he never gets it. He just keeps on going and he suffers for it. And so be wise and don't be a fool. You can beat him. You can deprive him of stuff. You can let him have accidents. His business won't do good. His finances are not blessed. He has wrecks, car wrecks. All kinds of things can happen. You don't necessarily have to have those things, but there'll be adverse circumstances come, and he's always thinking it's somebody else instead of seeing, hey, God is trying to get a message through me. And, of course, a fool doesn't go to heaven. And there's many people that claim to be believers that are living a foolish lifestyle of a fool. And hopefully we get delivered from this today. Go to Jeremiah 6:27, please. It's a new Bible in the page stick. Pages still sticking together. You get some dirt on them. 6:27 says, I have made you an asser among my people. Notice it says my people. That you might know and essay their ways. All of them are stubbornly rebellious, going about as slanderers. They are bronze and iron. They're all of them are corrupt. The bellows blow fiercely. The lead is consumed by the fire. In vain the refining goes on, but the wicked are not separated. They call them rejected silver because the Lord has rejected them. You know, the way a silversmith refines silver is he melts it down and then seven times, and he'll skim the top off. The dross will come to the top and he skims it off seven times, and when he can see a reflection of his face in the silver, he knows the silver is pure. And so this passage is really saying God allows allowing chastisement to these people that call themselves that they belong to me, and the billows blow fiercely. It says they're stubbornly rebellious. They're fools. It says the bellows blow fiercely. The lead is consumed by the fire. In vain, the refining goes on, but the wicked are not separated. In other words, through the refining, through the chastisement, the dross is not removed, which represents the sin. So when we go through trials, God's using that fire of that trial to burn away stuff that's the dross in our life so that we'll be pure silver. But here it's saying these people won't let go of the dross. They won't let go of the sin. And so God calls them rejected silver, and because the Lord has rejected them, they call them rejected silver because the Lord has rejected them. God's coming for a pure, holy bride. And it's a false doctrine that tells you just because you pray a prayer that you're going to go to heaven. You've got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and this is how you do it. whenever there's chastisement. And you know, the chastisement doesn't have to be bad. It can be the least little problem in your life. Lord, why are you letting this person treat me this way? Why are you letting this happen? Lord, why does this always happen? It's not necessarily anything like a car wreck or sickness or death, but it can be just little simple things. I had a problem come up the other day, and I said, Lord, what is it? What on earth could I have done that would have brought this on? And the Lord clearly showed me, and I repented. You know, a wise person, when God speaks to them, they'll change. If you're not a person that's constantly dealing with your sin and getting conformed in the image of Christ, you know what you're getting conformed into? The image of the beast. You're either getting conformed into the image of Christ or you're getting conformed into the image of the beast. You're either getting better by what you go through or you're getting bitter. And so you've got to forgive or God won't forgive us if we don't forgive. And so the Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You know, I've heard stories of people that had smoked so much that they had throat cancer and they had to take their throat out. And then they put a little hole for them to breathe through. And they wanted a cigarette so bad they would put a cigarette up to that hole and smoke it through the hole. Now that's a fool. I tell you, 8 years ago, or I said 9 years now, when I was told I had some eye problems, I cut out Diet Coke, which is can cause the aspartame can cause brain tumors and blindness. I began to cut out everything that I had heard was not good for my eyes, and I'm still repenting of sin, and I'm waiting for the manifestation. You know, I used to say, one of these days I'm going to stand up here and tell you I don't have a weight problem. I'm still a little chunky, but that's okay. It's not a problem anymore. And so I'm going to tell you, one of these days I'm going to stand up here and tell you I have 20/20 vision. Amen? I'm going to have that. I confess that. And God said he meets all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I have a need even to read my notes today. Praise the Lord. So that prayer is answered. Bless the Lord. In 2 Samuel, King David was an example of an authority figure who listened to the people around him. We need to have ears to hear. It's amazing how few people have ears to hear. Jesus said over and over in the Word of God, to him who has ears, let him hear. Oh God. And that means God, dig out, excavate, and irrigate our ears so that we can hear. I see this so much with people that are coming to buy puppies. I live, you know, out in the country, and I'll tell them that when they get to the Exxon, do a certain thing. Those people will just keep on going. And then I don't know where they are. They're in Timbuktu. If I tell them to go left, they go right. If I say, don't go any further than right there at that station, they'll just go blazing off. And you know what? I have to be repenting when I'm talking to them, thinking the reason I can hear a little bit is because of God's grace. I mean, not get arrogant and cocky, because why do they go left when I tell them to go right? If I'm going the right direction, it's only because of God. I give him all the glory. But people don't have ears to hear, and that's something we need to pray. I pray, Lord, give me ears to hear. Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice clearly. I want to, you know, when it means incline your ear, it means stretch out your ear to hear him. In everything you go through, know that the devil cannot do anything that God does not let him do. God is letting the devil whip up on you to bring you to repentance and the fear of the Lord. And you have to give up your life if you want to find it. If you claim to be a believer and you're not willing to deny yourself, and you're still shacking up, and you're still in sexual sin, and you're still cheating people, or dishonest, or lying, or stealing, you're not going to heaven. We have to get rid of those things. We have to overcome those things in our life. God loves you so much, he's given you a spanking because God chastens every son whom he loves. I thank God for all the,
I thank God for every trial I've ever gone through in my whole life. And I told somebody that once, and they said, not me. Everything I've gone through has ruined me. Can I tell you, nobody can ruin you but you?
That's right.
Nobody can ruin you but you. And I can tell you, that person ended up killing themselves. I don't know if it was accident, or I don't know if it was on purpose. But everything, God says that the righteous learn what they, when they go through, the righteous learn, but the wicked are not so. They get bitter. You know, after many years, I've learned to appreciate the voice of God, even through a little child. And I've also learned the difference of listening to a demonic voice, a voice that doesn't line up with the Word of God, through anybody. And God says that His sheep hear His voice and they obey Him, and they obey Him. If you're God's sheep, you will obey Him. And if you're not being obedient, if you really belong to God, you can't stand it. And that's God's grace. You absolutely cannot stand it if you're God's child and you sin. And if you can stand it and you like it, you need to check out which way you're going, because you're not going to heaven with that kind of attitude. And that's God's grace. I thank God that when I became born again, I quit cursing just like that. A curse word came out of my mouth, and I said, Lord, that doesn't sound like anything that should come out of a Christian's mouth. And that day, 50 years, almost 51 years ago, God delivered me from cursing. And I used to curse like a sailor. My mother said, Jerry, everything you do, you really do it. You go to extreme with everything. Well, I didn't do everything like that. I mean, smoking was probably my worst thing, besides being haughty and proud and arrogant and, oh my goodness, insolent, arrogant, rude. I think when I get all that out of me, I'll see the manifestation of healing. I want to be a humble person. But God said we have to humble ourselves. He sees the haughty from afar. You don't feel close to God. God said, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you, and humble yourself. And it's something that we have to do, is humble ourselves. Proverbs 19:10 says, luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a slave to rule over princes. And that relates to, why did I say that? It's not good for a fool to rule over princes, and we're kings and priests, and our slave to rule over, or to be a ruler. Proverbs 19:10 says, luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a slave to rule over princes. Nehemiah 9:37 says, its abundant produce is for the king whom you have set over you because of your sin. They also rule over our bodies and over our cattle as they please, so we are in great distress. You know, distress just means stress. And the reason we're in distress or stress is because something else is ruling over us. My friend Milton Green used to say, we have a hedge of protection around us when we're walking in obedience to the Word of God, but when we step out of the Word of God, the hedge comes down, and guess what? It's Sikkim. Here comes the demons to chastise us, so we will repent if we're wise. If we're a fool, we'll be like, you can pound a fool in a pestle with a mortar along with crushed grain, and his folly will not depart from him. John 34:17 says, shall one who hates justice rule, and will you condemn the righteous mighty one? Job 34:30 says, so that godless men would not rule, nor be a snare of the people. Psalms 8:6 says, you make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. So God has made us to rule over all the works of his hands, and everything that was under Jesus' feet is under our feet, because we've been raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. Psalms 110:2 says, the Lord will stretch forth your scepter from Zion and say, rule in the midst of my people. Proverbs 8:16, by me princes rule and nobles all ennobles all who judge rightly. Proverbs 30:21 says, under three things the earth quakes, and under four it cannot bear up. Under a slave when he becomes king, and a fool when he is satisfied with food. Under an unloved woman when she gets a husband, and a maid servant who, when she suppresses, supplants her mistress. The Bible says if you help a wise person, he'll love you, but if you help a fool, he'll hate you. The Bible categorizes people into two categories, wise and foolish, wise and a fool, evil and good, and of course a fool is considered evil, a good person considered wise. Matthew 25, if you go to Matthew 25, Jesus tells this parable. He said, then he will say to those on his left, let me see me back up here. It says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will say, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate from them the sheep and the goats, one from the other. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then he will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will say, answer him, saying, Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Then the king will answer and say to them, answer to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Then he will say also to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. And I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or stranger or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? His answer will be to them, I say to you, to the extent that you did it not to the least of these, you did not do it to me. Then go, I will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You know, God wants us to help those he tells us to help. He doesn't want us to live a selfish life, but to have a heart to help people. The poor means that pious, poor, humble person that's trying to make it and needs help. That's who the poor is. The poor is not the arrogant, not the angry, not the arrogant, not the mean. I had a man, and I have a heart to help people, and I help anybody that when God touches my heart, I help them. But there was a man that called me, wanted to know if we helped people, and he was so arrogant, he was so angry, he began to tell me how selfish the church was. And I said, well, brother, where are you at right now? He said, I'm in a Hampton Inn. I said, well, where do you live? He said, I live in Illinois. I said, you had the money to get from Illinois and be in a Hampton Inn and you're wanting help? But see, the difference was he wasn't a poor, humble, pious person try to make it. He was an arrogant guy that thought he, the world owed him a living. And I said, brother, you are a con artist, and hung up on him. And his wife was trying to, so you don't help just, I mean, don't get on a guilt trip that you're not helping everybody out in the world. God has appointed people for you to help. And he tells you what to do. But he doesn't want you to help. The guy probably was a crackhead, or he was a hustler, that's for sure. And I'm just abiding life. I'm number 8 on the telephone directory. No telling. And I just prayed after that. I said, Lord, I ask you not to let anybody help that man. And the Lord said, you don't have to ask me. I'm not going to let him. Because, see, he's under the curse. Don't expect God to bless you if you're under the curse. And if you don't know where the curses are, go down Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, and repent over all those curses. There's a time I did that in my life, and I see a lot of things that apply to me. And now I can go down that list, and I don't see any that I'm not, that I'm under anymore. So there's hope you can get out from under those things. God wants to bless your going in, bless your coming out, bless everything He sets your hands to do. But you got to get yourself in a position by His grace to be blessable. And I don't claim I'm there. I'm working on that. I want to be more blessable. Ecclesiastes 10:2 says, a wise man's heart directs him to the right, but a foolish man's heart directs him to the left, because he's a goat and he's going to go to hell. And so the wise are going to heaven, but the fools are going to hell. The foolish are in prison because of rebellion. Psalms 107 says, fools, because of their rebellious ways. Go to Psalms 107. Psalms 107 says, is it in 17? Okay, thank you so much. I couldn't find it. It says, fools, because of their rebellious ways and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food. You say, well, that don't apply to me. I like food. It can mean you can be allergic to food. And they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their troubles, and He saved them out of their distress. But notice, they had to cry out to the Lord in their trouble. He sent His word and healed them. You see, as you line your life up with the word of God, He'll heal you. And delivered them out of their destructions. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. Verse 28, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distresses. And He caused the storms to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. So He uses those waves of the sea, but we got to cry out to Him. It says He sent His word, not folks, but He sent His word to heal us. So the question I ask you today, have you been a fool? I think we've all been fools. But I mean, has that been your lifestyle? Have you been that person that they could beat you to death and you wouldn't change? Have you been that person that God could chase and chase and chase and chase him, but you never listen? Keep on and you'll be destroyed. I'm really addressing the believer. Not the one, we've all been fools, but the believer who's lived that lifestyle. If you're not a fool, it's because of God's grace. You can't take any credit for it. You can thank God that for His mercy, that He caused you to want to please Him. And if you're not there, ask God to do that work in your heart. In ministry, I've discovered there are certain people you can't help. You can't help a person who's not teachable, who won't listen. It's really a waste of time to even try to. You can pray for them. You should pray for them till God brings them to that place. You know, if we think we're so smart, God said there's more hope for a fool than a man who's wise in his own eyes. And boy, I tell you, I have been so wise in my own eyes. Oh, God, have mercy. Romans 1 says, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped the creature rather than the Creator, God gave them over to a reprobate, depraved mind, because they were fools. Proverbs 2:17 says, speaking of a person that would leave the companion of her youth and forget the, can't read my writing here. Just go to Proverbs 2:17. This message I did a longer time ago, and the fun on it is like six, and I've discovered lately that I can read 14 better than 16, and I have to go back and change my messages. I mean, I have to retype them, and I didn't retype this one, so I said go to Proverbs, where did I say go?
2:17.
2:17, okay. I'm glad some of y'all are alert. Y'all all are. 2:17. 2:17 says, speaking of a person that goes after a harlot, that leaves the companion of their youth and forgets the covenant of their God, for her house, speaking of the harlot, sinks down to death, and her tracks lead down to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the path of life. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep the path of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. The scripture says, righteousness guards the way of the one whose way is blameless. And, you know, I heard Derek Prince say, there's another place that says, if you're walking in wisdom, that discretion will watch over you, understanding will watch over you, and where is that? Proverbs 2. Understanding, in verse 11, it says, discretion will guard you, and understanding will watch over you. And then there's another scripture that says, righteousness guards the way of the one whose way is blameless. And I heard Derek Prince say that he felt that discretion and understanding were angels. And so I'm wondering, is righteousness? I know Jesus is our righteousness, and Christ in us is our righteousness. Living a righteous life would guard our way. But also, I believe there are angels by those names. I could be wrong. But I've been asking God to appoint discretion and understanding and righteousness to guard the properties and the lives of the saints all over the world. Amen?
Amen.
So, Lord, we just ask you to help us walk in wisdom so that we can be guarded and protected. You know, when things don't go right, we need to say, okay, Lord, what in the world are you trying to show me? Teach me, O Lord, your ways. 2 Peter 2:20 says, for this is speaking of a believer, for if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of Christ your Savior, and they get entangled in the world again, the last state of that man is worse than the first. As the proverb goes, a dog returns to its vomit, and a sow after washing returns to the wallowing of the mire. You can take a pig out of the slough and bathe him and scrub him up and put a blue ribbon in his hair, in his head, on his bald head, or on the two hairs on his head, I don't know, but he'll go right back to the slough because he's a pig. He's got a pig's heart. Okay, some of the characteristics of a fool: his ways right in his own eyes. Proverbs 18:2 says a man that his way is right in his own eyes. The second thing is, and this is all in my handwriting, so you'll have to bear with me in reading it. Sometimes I think it sounds like when my little boy, when not Kyle, but his little brother, when he used to hear Kyle read in first grade, I would be helping Kyle read, and my little two-year-old, who's in heaven now, he'd say, "Good Dick, good Dick." Sometimes I'm thinking when I'm trying to read my own notes, y'all are thinking it sounds like good Dick. But you know what? I want God's glory, even if it's make a fool out of myself. Amen. A fool is easily enticed and led astray. Proverbs 7:21 and Proverbs 14:15. Says the naive believe everything, but the prudent man examines his work, and examines his ways. The next thing is that he has a mouth problem. How many of you have had mouth problems? I've had mouth problems. The Bible says where many words are, transgression is unavoidable. Proverbs says a babbling fool will be thrown down. Have you ever been around someone that just talks incessantly and never shuts up? You run from them. Some of you that are talkers may wonder why people don't want to be around you. That's one of the reasons. The third thing is he's a slanderer. Proverbs 10:18, it says, he who spreads slander is a fool. Another characteristic of a fool is wickedness is a sport to him. Where it's the opposite with a wise person, wisdom is a sport to a wise person, and wickedness is a sport to a fool. That's Proverbs 10:23. A fool displays his folly and just spreads it out. Proverbs 13:16 says, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool displays folly. Proverbs 3:35, fools display dishonor. The next thing is that a fool lays up treasure for himself. Go to 1 Timothy 6:9, please. My husband used to say, you need to say please. 1 Timothy, it says, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, not money, but the love of it, the love of money is the root of all evil. And some by longing for it have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things, you men of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. The next thing, characteristic of a fool, is that he's got a religious spirit. He maybe cleans the outside of the cup, but not the inside. That's what the Pharisees did. 90% of church members, at least, Howard Pittman says 90% of church members are lost. Leonard Ravenhill says 98% church members are lost. Why? Because they dress up the outside, and there's nothing wrong with that, but they don't clean up their heart. They don't clean the inside. And that's in Luke 11:40. The next thing is they will not receive rebuke or correction. Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool rejects his father's discipline, but a wise son regards reproof. The next thing is he's arrogant and careless. Proverbs 14:16, a wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. Proverbs says, a prudent man considers his steps, but a foolish man will go on and suffer for it. The next characteristic of a fool is that he brings sorrow and sadness and grief and bitterness to his father and mother. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes his fathers glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. And those of you who have children, that's something you need to forgive them for, because grief will open you up to sickness. And you need to repent over your own sin, of your failures towards your children. I'm telling you, the devil will just want to drive you crazy with all the mistakes you made. I can think of some mistakes that I made with my son that's in heaven and with Kyle even, and it grieves me so much. And I asked Kyle, because he's alive, I asked him, Lord, would you please forgive me? Have I asked you to forgive me for that? He said, yeah, Mother, about 40 times. But you know, it's easier to forgive other people for me than it is to forgive yourself. But you've got to forgive yourself, because forgiveness is a choice. And my youngest son said to me when I apologized to him before he died, he said, oh, Mom, you did the best you knew how. But you keep on apologizing, keep on getting your heart right and humbling yourself, they feel sorry for you. They think, oh, poor mom. I said, yeah, mom, you really were a bad mother. But the enemy wants to torture us with the mistakes we made. Whether you have children or you don't have children, we've all made mistakes. And God wants to, and God restores the years the locusts have eaten. The next characteristic of a fool is that he's discontented and unsatisfied with life. Proverbs 17:24 says, wisdom is in the presence of the one who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool is on all the ends of the earth. And that's just a picture of a person that just sees everything they see and wants. That's another root to eye problems. The eyes of a fool is over all the ends of the earth. The next characteristic of a fool is that the root of it is the lack of discipline. You know, the Bible says, tells parents in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. And so when a person's a grown-up fool, it's because they didn't have proper discipline when they were a child. The Bible says, if you beat him, he won't die. And you're to use the rod on him, not one of those little bitty spoons. Get you a switch. A rod. Make a rod out of it. A fool is contentious and quarrelsome. Proverbs 18:6-7. And also, I'm not going to read that, but also Proverbs 20:3 says, keeping away from strife is an honor to a man. Let's just do go to Proverbs 18:6. It says, a fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The Bible says that by the fruit of our lips we enjoy good or we enjoy bad. Probably one of the most significant marks of a fool is his bad temper. Always angry. Unrestrained anger. Proverbs 17:12 says, it's better to meet a bear robbed of its cubs than a fool in his folly. In other words, you try to take the folly away from a fool and it's worse than a mad bear. That's why God says, don't throw your pearls before swine. Proverbs 14:17, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly. Proverbs 27:3, if you'll turn there. A stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but the provocation of a fool is heavier than both sand and rocks. Wrath is fierce, anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy? The Bible says an angry man must bear the penalty, and of course that's demonization. Proverbs 29:11 says a fool always loses his temper. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, anger resides in the bosom of a fool. Job 5:2, for vexation slays the foolish man, and anger kills the simple. The next characteristic of a fool is, you can see their vexation at once. You see it in their countenance. Proverbs 2:16 says, a fool's vexation is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor. And of course, when in Genesis, when Cain and Abel, when God rejected Cain's gift, he got angry, and God told him that he needed to repent. His countenance had fallen, and that if he didn't repent, sin was crouching at his door, waiting to master him. So anger is linked into idolatry just like any other sin. And this is how I can detect idols in my life. Is if anything depresses you, anything makes you angry, anything makes you fearful, it's connected to idolatry, because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and all iniquity is as idolatry. You know, if you get angry, Lord, why did that make me angry? I had a lady working for me, and I don't know why, but she just irritated me. And I was saying, Lord, what's wrong with me? Lord, I've got a sinful heart. I don't want to feel that way toward her. Lord, why is it that she gets on my nerves. And the Lord showed me. Arrogant, haughty, too slow, and I do everything too fast. That's arrogance. So more of that has to leave. The next characteristic of a fool is that his lamp is going out. He's that unwise virgin in Matthew 25 that has no oil for his lamp. The Bible says he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. The next characteristic of a fool is lazy and indolent, thinks the world owes him a living. Ecclesiastes 10:15 says, the toil of a fool so wearies him that he doesn't even know how to go to the city. Ecclesiastes 4:5, the fool's foolishness, oh, the fool folds his hands and go to Ecclesiastes 4:5. I can't read my writing. Ecclesiastes 4:5, please. The fool folds his hands and consumes his own flesh, eats himself up. You know, the next characteristic of a fool is they want to be honored. Have you ever noticed somebody that's doing everything to brag on themselves so that you'll try to honor them? The Bible says it's not fitting to honor a fool. It says that in Proverbs. The next characteristic of a fool is that he despises wisdom. Proverbs 23:9. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Proverbs 1:7. For fools despise wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 1:22 says fools hate knowledge. The next characteristic of a fool is that his rebellion brings him down into a spiritual prison. We've already read that one. Proverbs 19:29, judgments are prepared for scoffers and blows for the back of fools. Proverbs 26:3, a whip for a donkey, a bridle for a mule, and a rod for the back of a fool. Proverbs 16:22. It says that the folly of a fool is his discipline. Like if I overeat, my folly of overeating makes me gain weight. If I go out and charge up my credit cards, my folly causes me to have bills I can't pay. So my son's homosexual lifestyle, his folly, the sexual sin caused him to have AIDS. He died of AIDS, but praise God he's in heaven. A fool has his mind on pleasure. That's Ecclesiastes 7:4. A fool is ashamed of God. Psalm 74:2. The foolish man reproaches God all day long. The next characteristic of a fool is he wants to be the leader. When Jesus said, he who would be great among you would be the servant of all. As Tammy was saying earlier, a fool wants to be served rather than serve. Proverbs 11:29, the foolish will be the servant of the wise. In Deuteronomy, it says, one of the blessings is you'll be the head and not the tail, but one of the curses is you'll be the tail and not the head. And the only thing that causes you to not be the tail is to be out from under the curse. Repent of rebelliousness. Rebellion to the voice of God and His commandments. The next characteristic of a fool is that he doesn't understand his way. He can't understand what's happening to him when people are trying to tell him what the problem is, that he won't even listen. Proverbs 14:8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Proverbs 10:21, fools die for the lack of instruction. The scripture says, forsake your folly and live, and proceed in the way of understanding, which is the truth that sets you free. A fool doesn't keep his promises. The Bible says a good name is to be chosen above great riches. A fool is a liar. Ecclesiastes 5:4. A fool is, he changes the truth of God for a lie. Proverbs 1:22. A fool never learns from the hard things he goes through. He never learns from the chastisement that God brings about or allows. Proverbs 26:1, like a dog that returns to its vomit, and a sow returns to wallowing in the mire, is the same as a fool in his folly. The next thing is, a fool is under the law. You know, there's a teaching going around that you're under the law if you try to obey God. If, you know, you don't obey to be saved, you obey because you are. It's because God does a heart change in your life. If you walk in the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you don't walk in the Spirit, you are under the law, and demons are executors of the law. The next thing is, a fool is a spiritual drunk. Ephesians 5:17 says, "Be not drunk with wine, for it's in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Goes on to say, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to God. That's a sign you're filled with the Spirit. And here's some things that a wise person should do. Is stay away from fools. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, the companion of fools will be destroyed or suffer harm. One translation says, be destroyed, I believe King James says. Walk with wise men and be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. The next thing is, don't hire a fool. Proverbs 26:10, like an archer who wounds everyone, so is he who hires a fool that passes by. My daddy, bless his heart, he would hire anybody that came along, and they would end up usually costing him a lot of money because they would steal from him, or instead of having background checks, he just hired anybody that stopped in and wanted a job. And probably that goes back to his own times of him needing a job and his compassion for people. But it says you're like an archer that wounds people when you hire a fool that passes by. The next thing is, don't answer a fool according... You don't answer a fool according to his folly. You answer a fool according to what he needs to hear. That's Proverbs 26:4. And the next thing is, don't send a message by a fool. Proverbs 26:6 says, he cuts off his own feet and drinks violence who sends a messenger by the hand of a fool. There's another scripture that says that, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, is a foolish man to one who sends him. And then the last thing is, don't sit under a pastor who's a fool. If your pastor is not walking in obedience to the Lord and submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, don't sit under him, because Luke says you become like your teacher. Okay, the question is, are you a fool? Are you a wise person? And if you're a fool, you're not hopeless, because God can make you wise. He can download you with wisdom. So stand up and ask the Lord to show you, have you been a fool? Or have you lived a foolish lifestyle? Are you that person that won't take correction, that won't let God speak to your heart, that won't receive correction? Are you a person that gets bitter instead of better? You find yourself worse off than when you started. You know, one of the things that Jesus died for is that he can make you a holy vessel. He wants to purify you and take all of that stuff out of us. And we all have stuff that needs to go. I have stuff that I'm still working on stuff. And honestly, I'm never going to quit working on stuff till the day I die. And I can tell you, when you do that, you'll die in full strength. You know, I heard of ministers that would say, in fact, I had a great grandfather that said, this is the day I'm going to die. And he told his son, come down and have dinner with mom, your mother, and I think this is the day I'm going to die. And he died that day. I heard E.W. Kenyon, I don't agree with everything he wrote, but I heard it the same way. He went upstairs, put his best suit on, came downstairs. His daughter said, where you go? And he said, this is the day I die. And he sat down and died. I want to know the day I'm going to die. I got to make sure there's no loose ends. And that's just not a legalistic thing. I'm not legalistic. I do it because I love God, and I want every day, I want to be a pleasure to him, and I'm not. I know my attitude toward that lady was not a pleasure, and I grieved over it. And I want to be a person that walks in love. Lord, I ask you to search my heart. and test my thoughts. And Lord, let me know the truth that sets me free. And all the things I'm going through now that are distressing to me, what are you trying to teach me, Lord? Ask God to show you. And He's got an answer for everything you're going through. And it's to conform. He allows you, the Bible says, everything works together for good to those that love the Lord, to the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. So the purpose of the trial is always to conform you into the image of Christ. And if you don't ask Him what He's trying to teach you, you'll get bitter. God wants you to live free of bitterness. He wants you to live free. You know, one of the roots to arthritis is bitterness. God's got an answer for everything you go through. And it's going to come as you give up your life, deny yourself, line your life up with the Word of God, and healing will come in God's timing. Might be instant, and it might take a long time, but the outcome will be deliverance and healing and glory and strength and vitality, even in your old age. So, Lord, search my heart and let me know the truth that sets me free. And just repent of everything you can see and then sit down and we'll do deliverance. Lord, forgive me for being a fool, being stupid, mad, vain, destitute of reason. Father, forgive me for being an idiot. God, forgive me for being wicked and depraved, acting corruptly, contrary to sound wisdom in moral morality, being a buffoon, following my own inclinations, Father, preferring trifling. Forgive me, Lord, for loving temporary pleasure versus Your service. Forgive me for wanting to be served rather than to serve. Lord, forgive me for seeking pleasure in anything but You. Spending my time in idleness, sport, or mirth. Lord, forgive me for thinking that my way is best. Forgive me for trusting in my own heart. Forgive me for being so stubborn and so rebellious and so dull of hearing that I could be like, You could crush me and I won't listen. I ask You to get that out of me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Forgive me for being wasted silver. The bellows have blown. You put me through trials, through chastening. But God, I haven't released the sin in my life. And I want to release it, Lord. I want to allow the chastening to purify me, Lord, and get me delivered in Jesus' name. Forgive me for being right in my own eyes. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask You to forgive me for hating those that have instructed me. Lord, forgive me for letting a slave rule over me and being controlled by demonic powers. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for lacking understanding. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for not ruling in the midst of my enemies. Lord, my enemies are not people, but principalities and powers. You said by You, Lord, princes rule. Help me to judge righteously. Forgive me for not judging righteously. Lord, forgive me for being satisfied with food. God, forgive me for committing abominations to You. Forgive me for thinking I need no advice. Forgive me for being a fool. Forgive me, Lord, for not reaching out to others. Forgive me for selfishness. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for being a goat instead of a sheep. Forgive me for rebellion that's caused me to be put in prison, a spiritual prison. Father, in the name of Jesus, Forgive me for being a fool because of my rebellious ways, exchanging the truth of God for a lie, worshiping the creature rather than the Creator, and you would give me over to a reprobate mind, dementia, Alzheimer's, in the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive me for escaping the defilements of the world by the knowledge of Christ the Savior, and then going back and getting entangled in the world. And Lord, I've been like a dog returning to its vomit, and a sow after wallowing returns to wash water, after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. Lord, forgive me that I've let things of this world entice me and lead me astray. Forgive me for a spirit of harlotry that's led me astray. Forgive me for being stubborn and rebellious, being a babbling fool. Lord, forgive me that my words have fell to the ground. I want to have words like Samuel, that none falls to the ground. Forgive me for being a slanderer. Forgive me that wickedness has been a sport to me. Forgive me for displaying my folly, spreading it out. Forgive me, Lord, for laying up treasure for myself, having a religious spirit, being a Pharisee that cleans the outside and doesn't deal with my heart. Lord, I want to deal with my heart from this day forward. Forgive me for not receiving instruction. Lord, forgive me for not having ears to hear. Forgive me for being arrogant and careless, bringing sorrow and sadness and grief and bitterness to my mother and father. And I forgive them for bringing sadness, sorrow, grief, and bitterness to me. I forgive them for not training me up in the way I should go, not disciplining me. Lord, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for discontentment, that I've been a fool. My eyes have been on the end of the earth. Lord, I forgive my mother and father for not properly disciplining me, not using the rod on me to draw. I forgive them for using words instead of the rod, not bringing me up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Forgive me for not walking the highway of holiness through denying myself, taking up my cross. Forgive me for being contentious and quarrelsome. Lord, forgive me for anger residing in my bosom, being quick-tempered. Lord, forgive me for always losing my temper. Forgive me for vexation that is slaying me. Lord, forgive me that my vexation has been known because of my countenance not reflecting your glory. Lord, my lamp has been going out. I've been a foolish virgin. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for being lazy and indolent. Forgive me for wanting to be honored, despising wisdom, rebellion, exalting myself. Forgive me for contention, strife, bringing shame to you, having a mind of my own. Lord, I exchange that mind of my own for the mind of Christ. I want to think like you, Lord. Lord, forgive me for being a fool that would cause me to be served instead of be a servant. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to forgive me for being a fool, which has kept me from understanding my way. Forgive me for not asking you to show me my way. Forgive me for breaking promises. God, forgive me for displaying folly. Forgive me for not leaving the presence of a fool. Lord, forgive me for not walking in the Spirit. Through dying to my flesh, denying myself, giving up my life, so that I won't be under the law. Forgive me for being a spiritual drunk, being drunk with wine, being drunk in the Spirit, and not speaking to others in songs and hymns, in spiritual songs, and singing and making melody in my heart to you. Lord, forgive me for associating with fools, hiring fools, answering a fool according to his folly, sending messages by fools and the foolish. And Lord, forgive me for sitting under pastors that are in rebellion and not submitted to you. And Lord, I forgive my forefathers for being fools. Father, I was born with a spirit of a fool in me because of the sins of my fathers. Lord, I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the things I've confessed. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses. I break soul ties with my mother and father and all my forefathers. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ in Jesus' name. Now every demon, I command the spirit of a fool out in Jesus' name. Spirits of folly, I command laziness out. I command rebellion. I command fear. I command antichrist spirits in Jesus' name come out. I command sluggard spirits, scoffing spirits come out in the name of Jesus. I command spirits of pride, arrogance, boastfulness, egotism, insolence, arrogance, rudeness, Leviathan, Python, Jezebel, I command you out now in Jesus' name. I command in the name of Jesus all spirits of Dagon out in Jesus' name. All water spirits out. I command you to go bitterness, resentment, anger, hostility. Every spirit that tells lies to me and tells me that everybody owes me. Unforgiveness and bitterness has to leave now. All torment that's come in through unforgiveness. Those that have forgiven other people, I command all torment to go in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hatred has to go. Meanness has to go in the name of Jesus. Rudeness has to go in Jesus' name. Dishonor, shame, you have to go now in the name of Jesus. I break your power. Superciliousness, which is a form of pride, come out. Haughtiness in Jesus' name. Lord, I draw near to you, and I ask you to draw near to me. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Lift your hands if you feel a release. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless your holy name. Bless you, Lord. I want to say this and add to what Patty said about generational curses. Just one thing. If you have Indian ancestry, the things that come down the bloodline through Indian ancestry is incest, drunkenness, child molestation, hatred, unforgiveness, anger, violence, murder. So those things have to be broken. And I'm just saying that because a lot of us have Indian ancestry. I think I'm Heinz 57 variety. I don't know what calls in me. But you need to deal with generational stuff. A lot of lust, perversion comes down that. And then if you have Masonic, I don't know what Randy's going to teach, but if you have Masonic curses, that's phallic worship. All kinds of demons come down. So you need to examine what's up there in your bloodline. Amen? And so, Lord, I just put all these things under the blood of Jesus. And I say they go no further, and I command them off my children in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. And Lord, we thank you for the food. We thank you for Rick, and we thank you for everyone that's in the kitchen, and I don't know who all's back there, everyone that has bless us with this food. We ask you a special blessing upon them. Strengthen them. Lord, we ask you to strengthen all the workers of this camp in Jesus' name. We praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Love you, but love God loves you more.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.